Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
It's always an honor and a joy to be among God's children. It's good to be with you. Why don't you join some hands with somebody and let's look to the Lord. Father, we come from different walks of life. And we come from different upbringing, tribe, kindred, tongue, and education, upbringings. We've come as men and women made in your image and likeness at the feet of the cross, that we may benefit once again from the comforts of redemption and the benefits of the finished work of the cross. We have come to be loose. For though many are saved and born again, yet are bound by habits, ideologies, belief systems, thought patterns that prevents us from seeing you as you are. We need a breakthrough. Somebody needs your touch. Somebody's body needs to be healed and strengthened. Somebody's mind needs to be loose. Someone needs some yokes of limitation to be broken. Somebody needs some curses, transgenerational curses, to be broken and lifted up their lives. Somebody needs their shackles and chains to be broken off. There are many in spiritual, emotional, mental prisons that needs to come out of prison. I come to make a divine announcement for their release and their own. Yes, Father. Father, let's dwell there a little bit. Those in prison, any form of prison, I declare by divine authority, I come to make a divine announcement for their unconditional discharge, unconditional release. Anyone in prison, any form of prison, under the sound of my voice, it is your time to be acquitted and discharged. You are loose in the name of Jesus. You are coming out of prison. All forms of prison, doors open in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, help me to help somebody. Loose me where I need to be loose, that I might lose somebody. Free me up where I need to be freed up, that I might free somebody up. Help me that I may help somebody. Empower me to empower somebody. In the name of Jesus, now touch my tongue and my lips with the coal of fire for clarity of speech. Touch my thoughts and my mind with your finger, that I might think the thoughts of God. Touch my body and wake it up for miraculous energy, that I may deliver as the oracle of Elohim. And now let every demon spirit bow. Let every man and woman that came here with any unction and anointing that is not of God, in the name of Jesus, I freeze your power. I strip you of your powers. I command every lion spirit, die. I command every dragon, die. I invoke lightnings and thunders. I deploy the angelic host of heaven to be right now at duty and at post and perform by divine biddings. In the name of he who died laid in the grave and arose triumphant from the third day. Let there be divine eruption this morning and tonight. Let there be signs. Let there be wonders, miracles. Open our eyes that we may see like we've never seen. Open our ears that we may hear the voice of him that sits on the right hand of the Father, and that we may live. For it is written, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. We want to live. So let us hear your voice. Amen. give two people a high five and tell them the devil is a liar and so is his mother-in-law. Before you are seated, please tell somebody again, the devil is a liar and so is his mother-in-law. Now you may be seated in heavenly places. Once again, I want to honor Pastor Cujo, celebrate him and his dear wife. Thank you for letting me come, and I must commend you for the work done. It's a great house, and we thank you and celebrate also the leadership under which you serve. You can't dream bigger than your leader, and for you to dream this big is a clear indication that you serve under the right leadership that allows you to dream. So we want to honor him too, Dr. Mensah Otabena. I'd like to talk to you this morning, and we will see how it goes tonight, on a subject I've been dealing with. I've been preaching. This year is my 30th year in ministry by the grace of God. And I'd like to talk to you on the subject I entitled, Living by Heaven's Intelligence Information. Heaven has a report. And the Bible said, whose report will you believe? So heaven has its report. And earth has its report. And for us being God's kids, heaven and God expects us to live by heaven's intelligence report. The Bible said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Jesus was the Son of Man dealing with his humanity, and he was also the Son of God that dealt with his divinity. And so it's important for you to be able to walk with God, not by earthly intelligent reports, but you got to be able to access divine or heavenly intelligence reports. Because if you don't operate by what heaven is saying, you live a low life. You live a low life. Something said to Delilah, he said that I am a Nazarite. Said Samson, I'm a Nazarite. And he said, razor has never touched my hair. And in the day that razor touches my hair, I will be like any other man. Which stands to reason that though he was a man, he wasn't like any other man. He was unique. He was outstanding. He was different. He was set apart. He operated by the powers of super beings. A man that could kill a lion by a bare hand. He climbed upon a hill by removing the gates and the pillars of an entire city and carried it upon his shoulders and climbed a hill with the two pillars and the gate of an entire city of those days. That was the kind of awesome strength that the man operated in. And he said to Delilah, I am a man, but I am not an ordinary man. Because there is something that comes upon me and makes me a super being, even though I am a human being. And he said, in the day that razor touches my hair, I will be like any other man. I'd like for you to turn to somebody and say, I am not an ordinary man. I feel something. I feel something. I feel like my water is broken and my baby's head is in the position to be downloaded. Are you hearing me, somebody? I feel some movements in my spiritual womb. Somebody say, talk to me. And I'm going to try to talk to you, amen. This is my first time here, so I'm going to try to work my way into you. Amen. I'm going to try to work my way into you. I'm going to try to break the ice and try to download something. And then tonight, we want to take off tonight. We want to have a service tonight to pray for the sick and to believe God to heal, because Jesus is still in the healing business. I used to do a lot of healings when I began many years, and I didn't decide to stop it, but some way, somehow, I got caught up with other things and left it, and the Lord has been warning me very strongly in the past few years to go back to the healing ministry. So we see wonders and tremendous miracles everywhere we've been. I just came from Bishop John Francis Church, Amsterdam and London, and Manchester, just 2 days each places, and we had some mind-blowing, outstanding miracles that cannot be explained. I mean, people who were written off by doctors and were on their dying beds, and I've seen people come out of coma right here in this country, people who left their bodies and they gave testimonies how they were going up and they climbed dimensions in the spirit, and angels met them and told them, you cannot enter here now. And curtains were pulled, and they saw me praying, and the angel said, his prayers won't let you come in, you got to go back. And they found themselves coming, and they entered their bodies again, and they woke up. I mean, tremendous miracles. And I believe God that after this evening session, that there will be so many testimonies that will keep on flowing, because Jesus is still in the healing business. Amen, somebody. He's still the healing Jesus. And so I don't want to limit him. But what I'm going to try to do today, this morning, I'm going to try to walk and I'm going to try to talk to you to break the ice. I don't want to be in that setting of trying to lecture. Amen. I want to flow. Amen. Pastor said flow. And I love that. I love that. So I want to flow. Amen. Amen. The other day, the Bible said in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, reading from the 13th verse, the Bible said that Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that he said to his disciples, Matthew, the 16th chapter, reading from the 13th verse, he said to his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the Bible said to them, to some said, thou art John the Baptist, and others said, Elias, and others said, Jeremiah, one of the old prophets risen from the dead. And Jesus said, that you that are with me, who say ye that I am? And everybody was quiet until suddenly Peter, the son of Jonah, Simon, the son of Jonah, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. My Father which is in heaven. He said, what you just received is a heavily intelligent report about my true self and my true identity, that you cannot analyze and you cannot determine who I am by who my father and my mother is or was. You can't determine who I am by my background. Somebody say, talk to me. And every one of them was confused. Every one of them was confused about who his identity was. And the reason why Jesus had to settle this issue was because by divine intelligent network, he knew by laser discernment, he could perceive, he could apprehend the fact that there were folks that were confusing his disciples about who he truly was. That the disciples were confused about their leader, about their master. They were unsure about who he truly was, because people were giving all kinds of identities and report about him that didn't fit into his true profile. Who they said he was had nothing to do with his spiritual constitution or his spiritual DNA. And so Jesus said, what are they saying about me? What have you heard? What are they telling you? What is it that you've been told about who I am? Talk to me. Somebody say, talk to me, preacher, talk to me. I'm talking to you. And so there was a confusion about him. They were trying to define him from human terms. By human terms, they were trying to define him to be something that he wasn't. According to that which is written in the volume of the books, he wasn't what they were trying to say he was. And so the disciples, though were with him and were loyal and committed, they still have some doubts and some confusions on their mind. And they were trying to figure him out, to find out, who is this man that we are following? And who is this man that we are hearing and listening to? And Jesus, by the intelligence of the Holy Ghost, said, you are making a mistake. If you try to analyze me, if you try to apprehend me, if you try to comprehend me, if you try to figure me out by human intelligence report, you will miss it. That is a low level. It's a low frequency. And Jesus said, I want you to climb a higher frequency. I want you to tap into a higher frequency. I want you to log into the heavenly computers and download the real and true information of who I am. Somebody shout yes. And every one of the disciples were quiet because they were very confused. And none of them had developed the capability or the capacity to log into heavenly computer networks and intelligence to download information. They didn't have the code to break in. And suddenly, the lamplight suddenly was turned on Peter, Simon. Simon, who the word Simon means unstable as water. Unstable as water. Can't depend on. Don't have a mind of his own. Can't make his own mind. Born with the potential to be a leader, but yet because he can't make up his mind, because of the lack of light and the lack of revelation, cannot comprehend his true self and could not discover who he was. So though he was born to be a leader, he became a follower and had to depend on the intelligence and informations of others. Can't make up his own mind. You see, when you lack the ability to hear from God, you become a follower. You follow the opinions of others. But if you have the ability to hear and to log into heavenly intelligence network, you can't be a follower. You got to be a leader. When you hear from God, it distinguishes you from others. When you hear from God, it makes you outstanding. When you hear from God, it makes you different from others. Somebody say, I hear you. So Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? What is their perception of me? It's important to walk with heavily intelligent, hallelujah, report. Because if you can see by the eyes of God, the Bible says, for he will not judge by the hearing of his ears or by the seeing of his eyes. You got to be able to turn on the rear eyes. Bible said, let him that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. That means that you can have ears and still not hear. And Jesus said the other day, he said, eyes have they, but they see not. So we are humans. We have a body. We are spirits. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And you got to cultivate the ability not to just see Pastor Kujo for who he is in the natural. You got to see him by the Spirit. And until you see him in the Spirit, you don't know him. One time Jesus took three of the disciples, John, Peter, and James, to the Mount of Transfiguration. And said, I want you to see who I really am. He said, I have many of you, but only to the three of you, I'm giving divine permission to decode something. Only to the three of you, I'm giving divine permission to reveal my true self to you. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was transfigured. And there they saw the real Yeshua HaMashiach. For who he was. And they realized that man they're dealing with in the flesh was not him. That the body they were looking at was just it was a means of transportation. It was a vehicle that carried the true man. And the Bible said the other day, he said, a body hast thou prepared for me. a body has now prepared for me. Because spirits have no right to function in the earth realm among men without human bodies. Spirits and angels has no judicial rights to perform within this jurisdiction, because it is man's territory and you need the permission of man to function within this jurisdiction. You cannot operate in the earth realm without a human body or an animal's body. That's why in the Garden of Eden, if you find out, the enemy came through the body of a snake, because spirits are not allowed to come into the earth realm without a body, either the body of a human being or the body of an animal. And that's why they will pray through dogs, through cats, through snakes. They will operate through birds, all kinds of bodies, as long as it has flesh and blood, they will inhabit it to function, because they do not have the right to operate in the earth realm without flesh and blood. And the fact is that you cannot come to the earth realm without the womb of a woman. The right of entry to the planet is the womb of a woman. You can't come here without the womb of a woman. And that's why Jesus himself has to be wrapped in the womb of Mary, a virgin that has never been touched or contaminated. He had to enter the womb of Mary. And before any man could feel him or touch him, a woman carried him inside of her belly for 9 solid months, 40 weeks. A woman, the same woman that brought the fall, the same woman brought the lifting up. Are you hearing me, somebody? God said, woman, you brought the fall of man, but I'll give you the opportunity to fix it. And to lift up man again. Somebody say, talk to me. I'm trying to talk to you. And the Bible said, and Simon broke into heavenly computer intelligence network, downloaded divine intelligence, and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus then responded and said, Simon, Simon, Barjona, which means Simon, son of Jonah, blessed art thou. Listen, gentlemen, I find out that whenever you hear from God, you are blessed. I find out that you get blessed anytime you hear from God. Something happens when you hear from God. And Jesus said, that things that happen is that you get blessed from hearing from God. He said, Simon, you are just blessed. You are blessed than your fellows. You are blessed than your father's children. You are blessed than others because you heard from God. And he said, Simon, what you just heard from God, if you lived 1,000 years and depended on human intelligence network, you would have never known what you just heard from God about who I am. That what you just heard from God had nothing to do with the school you attended. It has nothing to do with the fact that you are a student of Oxford or Harvard or Cambridge or Yale. That this has to do with divine intelligence report. That heaven decided to download it inside of you. Because of who you are going to become, you must know who you are following. Because of who you are going to become, you need to have this advanced information. Somebody say advanced information. And so, Jesus said, blessed are thou. And today you are blessed. Today you are blessed. Anytime you discover revelation, you are blessed. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, anytime you discover revelation, you are blessed. Revelation is a mystery, which is something previously hidden that is now revealed. So there are things hidden from you and I. I heard Paul the Apostle said the other day, he said, for eyes have not yet captured it. Nor ears heard, neither has entered the hands of any man. Born of a woman, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he said, but it is now revealed by his spirit. So there are hidden things that it takes only the Holy Ghost to know. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost than ever before. I can do it without the Holy Ghost. God, I need him. The more I preach, the more I realize that I need the Spirit like never before. I was preaching in London the other day, and I said that the difference between the Orthodox establishment and our kinds of movements and establishment is the fact that we have the same Bible. We have the same Bible, translated by the same translators, from the original Greek to English, the King James English. And we all have the same Bible. But the difference between us and them is that they have the same Bible we have, but they don't have the Holy Ghost who interprets the Bible for you and I. They don't have the Holy Ghost. And that's why Jesus said, you've walked with me. You know the word, but you can't move without the Spirit. So wait for the Spirit to come. For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So God will only speak and enlighten and illuminate and guide you and I by our spirit, not by our senses, not by our intelligence. And it doesn't matter how much we break the word from the perspective of the pretext, of the protext, to explain the context of the text without the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me, somebody? Jesus said, the letter killeth, but the spirit make it alive. Somebody lift up your hands and say, yeah. Can I talk to you this morning? I'm trying to get to know you. I'm trying to break the ice, and then tonight I will take off. Amen. So can I talk to you? And the Bible said, and Jesus said, bless Ada. Will you turn to two people and say, bless Ada, bless Ada. You are blessed. Tell them you are blessed and not cursed. You are blessed, not cursed. Blessed and not cursed. You are blessed and not cursed. Somebody shout, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody say, I'm blessed, 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 blessed. Turn to somebody and say, don't look at the preacher that way. Tell the other person, don't look, stop looking at the preacher that way. Hallelujah. All right. I love you. I love you. Amen. No, I love you more than you love me. I pay more price to talk to you than you pay to hear me. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said, and unto thee will I give the keys. There is something about keys. I preached a message the other day on the keys. The keys. Key stands for divine access. Key stands for divine authority. It also stands for spiritual activities. Keys gives you the ability to walk in and walk out, to access doors and gates. Jesus said, I'm giving you keys, not a key, but keys, many, plural. I'm giving you keys that gives you access to the gates of heaven, to the treasure houses of heaven. And you can walk in and walk out, and you can have information, because the Father has seen it fit to honor you by talking to you. Whenever the Father takes time to talk to you, you are blessed. Because there are so many people waiting in the line to hear him. So when the Father stops and puts everything on a stop and puts you through the fast track and talks to you, ladies and gentlemen, you are very favored. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I came to tell you this morning, you are favored, you are blessed, you are honored. Somebody shout, talk to me. I'm talking to you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody say, talk to me. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I give unto you the keys. Ladies and gentlemen, realize that unto none of the 12 was the keys given by Peter, except Peter. To none of the 12, except Peter. And the only reason why the keys was given to Peter was because Peter tapped into divine intelligence. Jesus said, I can't give the keys to people who live the low life. I can't give the keys to those who work in low places, because the key is not meant for those who work in low places. This key is the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And it takes people who walk at that level of frequency and intelligence to master these keys. It's not just given to anybody. And so Jesus said, to none of the 12 are these keys going to be given but you. And Jesus said, and then he said, and as a result of the keys, you will then bind anything on earth, and it shall be bound in heaven, because you have keys. You see, you just can't go around binding things. I was teaching my students the other day, and I said, there are bindables and there are losables. You got to know what to bind and what to lose. There are princes of the kingdom, and there are principalities of the other kingdom. The word principality means a prince. The word dominion means the domain or the territory or the jurisdiction of the prince. Then the word throne means the seat of the prince. Then the word power means the capability that governs or moves the systems of the territory of the prince. So when you hear the Bible say principalities, it's talking about princes of darkness. And when it talks about dominions, it's talking about jurisdictions of the princes of darkness. And when it talks about throne, it's talking about their seats. And when he talks about power, he's talking about their capability, because there's a difference between power and authority. Authority is when the policeman stands on the highways, and because of the uniform and the crown on top of the head of his hat, when he lifts up his hands, you stop. It doesn't matter what kind of vehicle you are moving on the highway, you got to stop. And you stop not because of him, but you stop because of what he represents. That is authority. And when he stops and commands you to come out and you refuse to comply, he takes his gun and he puts the pistol on you. And when he puts that pistol on you, that is power. You must comply. Somebody say, I hear you. So you got to know things to bind. You don't just go around binding and losing things. You got to hear to be able to bind. You got to hear to be able to lose. And Jesus said, Peter, I can trust you with the keys. I have many keys of many things by the grace of God. And I don't just give my keys to anybody. In the house I live in, there are only two people that have access to my keys. Then I have safes. And there are among my keys, there are certain one of my children who have the combinations to my safe. Here and other places. And they can access them at any time by my permission. And it's only given to you when you have proven that you have age to manage certain things. And Jesus said, Peter, you have grown overnight. Metamorphosis. Kadus. Ilegi vadu valahatas. Melei takabala hadusias. Let God be exalted and glorified among his people. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you've grown overnight by hearing from God. You just received an injection and an infusion and a virus that have allowed you to grow overnight. To come from the place of instability to a place of stability. You are solid. Somebody say dependable. Somebody say reliable. Somebody say unmovable. Somebody say solid as a rock. Give somebody a high five and say, heaven is depending on you. Look at somebody else and say, you can't fail. You can't fail. Say, you just cannot fail. Say, you are bound to succeed no matter what. Even your failures will become a stepping stone. Because the difference hear me. Ladies and gentlemen, the difference between a stumbling stone and a stepping stone is how you see it. The same stone that causes one to stumble is the same stone that causes another to step over. Give somebody a high five and say, it's just the way you see it. It's just the way you see it. Tell somebody your attitude. Say, your attitude determines your attitude. Say, how far you go is determined by your attitude. Amen. Can I talk to you? Now, sit down. Give me 2 minutes. When Jesus said, to you I give the keys of the kingdom of heaven, ladies and gentlemen, that was a heavy responsibility. Keys are not just given to kids. The keys of the kingdom, he didn't say the keys of the church. He said the keys of the kingdom. Of heaven, the keys of the jurisdiction of the Ancient of Days. It's caring to have keys to access the very chambers of Elohim and the El Elyon. Jesus said the keys are just given, it's only given to those who by revelation grow overnight and come of age. So sometimes it's not how long you've been in the church, but it's how much you have matured. And it's how close you are to the pastor, and how much you understand the vision, and how much you bought into his vision, and how much you know him after the spirit and not after the flesh. The Bible says, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You make a big mistake when you try to learn people from the natural. It's dangerous. You see, the other day, God had sent the prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint for him a king over Israel. And when Samuel got to the house of Jesse, Jesse had presented all his sons. But one, 7 of them, but one, and there were 8 of them. But the reason why the 8th one was kept out from among them is on a tape I preach on. God makes exceptions to the rules. And may I suggest to you that this is your year of exceptions to the rules? That you are not qualified to have some things according to the rules. But God tell me to tell you that he's going to change the rules to favor you. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. I said, God is going to change some laws to favor you. If you believe it, lift up your hands and shout, yeah. And sit down for 2 minutes, please. And the Bible said that the 7 of them were presented to the prophet. And the reason was because the 8th born was a controversy. There was a lot of issue about David. David was the 8th born, and it was believed that David was born out of wedlock. That Jesse, the father, at his old age visited a Hushi mama. If you are not an American, you won't understand what a Hushi mama means. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, Jesus. And so there was a problem with David, and he was born out of wedlock, and there was a lot of problem with him, and the old man didn't want to be reminded. He didn't want to be reminded by the sin of his old age, and there was a lot of fighting between him and the 7 of the others, and the old man was just trying to steal the storm and calm the waters, because when the waters are troubled, the sheep can't drink, and that's why he leads us beside still waters and not troubled waters. And the old man didn't want trouble in his old age. So he said, son David, I love you, but there's too many problems about you because of how you came in. And so I need you to be at the backside with the sheep. And that's why David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. It wasn't a general statement. It was a specific statement as it related to him as an individual. The circumstances under which he was conceived. And so the father didn't show him and didn't introduce him because there was a controversy about that particular son. And he didn't want to reveal him. But the father did not know that among the 7 of the sons, that it was this one that had in him the ability and the capability to rule as a king. That the king among his 8 children was none of the 7 born out of a legitimate marriage, but it was the 8 who was born out of illegitimate relationship. Somebody say, I hear you. Please be seated for 2 minutes. All the 7 stood, and the 7 were men of height and macho and men of intelligence and men that are standing in society and men that are well spoken of in society and men that have capability to articulate and to give expression to their feelings and what they thought, and they could intelligently meet the demands and comply to whatever it was required to become a king over the nation of Israel. And the prophet was so impressed with one of them, and suddenly a voice echoed from the corridors of eternity into time to say, Hold it, for I am a God that is not moved by outward appearances, but I look at the condition of the heart of a man. And none of these seven are qualified by the conditions of their heart to receive the oil of kingship. For the king among them is at the backside of the desert. I don't know where you are right now, but I came to tell you, it doesn't matter how much you've been behind among your siblings, and how far you are behind in the ministry, in business, in relationships, that God overnight can bring you from the back to the front. Are you hearing me, somebody? Tell somebody, I'm coming from the back to the front. Because the Spirit, say, the Spirit of the overtaker, it's upon me. Amen. Say, the Spirit of the overtaker is upon me. Please be seated. Hallelujah. David was ostracized. David was disregarded. David was irrelevant. David was forsaken among his own. His father, ladies and gentlemen, did not know. Thank you. The father did not know that among all the eight ones of his children, that the youngest, thank you. Look at somebody and say, you don't know me. Look at them and say, be careful how you handle me. Because you don't know who is sitting next to you. Tell them, if only you knew who is sitting next to you, you will invite me to the most expensive restaurant in town today. Look at someone and say, you haven't seen me yet. Say, wait a little bit. And it will blow your mind to see what I will become. For I am on my way to a wealthy place, Look at someone and say, I'm going somewhere. Don't judge me by my present conditions and circumstances. You will miss a great miracle tomorrow. Amen. Forgive. That is a coded language of the Lighthouse family. They only say that. When you hear mercy, the next response is say forgive. Hallelujah. That's the language of Bishop Dag. Amen. But let me talk to you a little bit, then I'll bless you and release you. So we'll be back tonight. David was about 17 at this time, the youngest among all. And he was left out. He was disregarded. He was not qualified by the standards of men. He didn't have what he took. So he was left out. And God said, I want the one left out. Hear me. What man esteems, God despises. And heaven value system is different from earth value system. And the way heaven perceives The way heaven perceives success is different from the way earth perceives success. So what man sees as success means nothing to God. To God, what is success is when a man is called to pour water on the hand of this man, pastor here. That your assignment is to pour water on his hand to help him. To financially, apart from your tithes and your offerings, bless him, his family, support him, give him, honor him, dress him well. Anytime you travel, get him some good things outside of your tithes and your offering. Just bless the man. And that is all God wants from you. And you do that, you are successful. Watch that. Watch this. If you don't do that, and you go build a church building that seats 100,000 for another church, as long as heaven is concerned, you are a failure. And you say, but God, I build a church of 100,000 for the archbishop. And God said, well, that's good. But your assignment was not to build a church for the archbishop. It was to pour water and help and support Pastor Kujo. That was your assignment. So as long as heaven is concerned, you are a failure. But to man, you are a success. So we got to be careful. I am very careful of what I call success. Because I've seen a lot. I've been to heaven. I've gone to the third heaven. I was taken out of my body. And it was in heaven they showed me my grandfather in the faith's city. The city of T.L. Osborne. And an angel of the Lord set my feet upon a hill. And I stood on a higher mountain. And I saw a beautiful city. And I saw lights. And they were like diamonds. And it was far away. And it was beautiful that I can't explain with human words. And the angel of the Lord said to me, that is the city of your grandfather in the faith, Dr. T.L. Osborne. And it was after that, I said, I have to go see him. And the Lord said, wait. When it is time, I will bring you and him together. And one time I was flying from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Washington, D.C. And the Lord said to me, change your connection and go through Chicago. So I called my daughter. I said, girl, can you reconnect me? I want to go to Chicago. And she said, Dad, the weather is bad. And Chicago is a very busy airport. Why don't you go through Houston? I said, I don't know, but I have an inner impression by the Spirit to go to Chicago airport. She said, okay, Dad. They hear me when I speak, because sometimes I say things, I do things that I don't even understand. And later in years after, I get to understand better. So she said, okay, Dad, I'll do it. So my flight was rerouted to Chicago O'Hare Airport. I was at Chicago airport. When I got there, my flight had delayed for 2 hours. I was going to buy something to drink. As I was standing in the queue, I heard a whispering from the corridors of eternity. And my right ear was awakened. And the Lord said, lift up your eyes, son, and look to the right of you. That is your grandfather in the faith, sitting there. And when I lifted up my eyes, I saw him sitting there drinking coffee. So I walked up to him and I said, Grandpa. And he looked at me. He said, Duncan Williams. I said, yes, Pa. He said, sit down. And I said, 2 years ago, I saw your city. And he bowed his head and he shook it and he smiled. And he said, you did. How was it like? And I told him. He said, that's why I'm over 85 years now and I'm still preaching the gospel to the nations. I'm still preaching the gospel to the nations. And I said, Grandpa, you need to teach me some things. I need to know some secrets. I want some keys from you. And we sat down for over an hour and he taught me and gave me many keys. Many keys. And he said, come to Tulsa and see me. And I flew to Tulsa with one of my children here right now. And we went to visit him at his office. And we went to his house. And we sat down. And we talked for many hours. And he taught me many things and many keys. And I'm telling you something. The way heaven sees is different from the way earth sees. And one of the things that shocked me whilst I was in heaven was the fact that I met the man that brought me up in the things of God, Elder Saki, an elder of the Lord in heaven, said to me, "Do you know anybody here?" And I said, "Yes, Papa Saki, Elder Saki, Church of Pentecost in those days." And he smiled and he left me. And then Papa came to see me and he was glorious. He was glorious when he came. I saw him. I said, "Papa." He looked at me and he smiled, but all his mouth was full of light. His whole body was full of light. His eyes was light. There was light all over his body. I couldn't touch him. And he was gloriously dressed with a white linen gown put upon his shoulder. He was dressed, dignified. And I looked at him and I said, "Papa." And he said, "You have to go back now." It was beautiful. But I met a group of people that were in heaven living in great regrets. And the regret was the fact that they were in heaven, but they had no rewards. And the reason was because whilst they were on earth, they didn't do anything for the cause of Christ and the church. For let me tell you this, only the things we do for Christ and the church shall echo in the corridors of eternity. All our secret bank accounts, the houses we build, the monies we give to our children, the great wills we do for our kids and everything is great. But none of those things will count and will have mileage in eternity but what we did for Christ and the church. And they had great regrets and said, "We are here, but we have no crowns, no rewards. Please live for Jesus. Serve him well. No matter what your troubles, don't let your troubles compromise your eternal rewards and destinies. In the midst of the troubles and the trials of life, for trouble is for the living and not for the dead. And as long as we live, there shall be problems. But in the midst of your troubles and your trials, don't stop serving him. Don't stop serving him." Somebody say, "I hear you." David was picked up. And the prophet said, "Do you have any other son among these?" He said, "I have only one left. But he's the youngest, the most insignificant. He don't look like a king. He don't even qualify. He hangs with sheep at the backside of the desert. He smells like sheep. He acts like sheep. He talks like one." The prophet said, "It doesn't matter how much the rules disqualifies him. Bring him. And we will not sit down till he comes." And it was believed that where David was to where they lived was a day's journey. So it took 48 hours to get somebody to go there, 24 hours. Get somebody to bring him, 24 hours. 48 hours to bring David. And they stood till David came. Ladies and gentlemen, when it is your turn. I said, when it is your turn. Even your father will stand for you. Your enemies will stand when it's your turn. Give somebody a high five and say, "It's my turn." Sit down for 2 minutes. Let me tell you the difference between time and turn. Time and turn. Most times when you are flying, you get to the airport, they say the departure time is 10 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, the gate is closed. And everybody is asked, "Fasten your seatbelt, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on board. This is Captain Duncan Williams. And I'm flying non-stop flight from here to JFK Airport, 10 hours. We'll be flying over an altitude of 35,000 feet above sea level. There will be no turbulence. It will be a very smooth flight and a safe one under the jurisdiction of kingdom angels." Somebody say, "I hear you." And then we take off. We leave where we were parked to go to the runway to take off. But most times there are other aircraft ahead of you. So even though it is your time, it's not your turn. So you have to keep waiting in line, even though you are in your time. When the other aircraft ahead of you goes, then it is no more your time, but it is your turn. Are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody lift up your hands and shout, "It is my turn. It is my turn." Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? When it is your turn, it means that everybody ahead of you is gone. That means no opposition. Somebody say, "No opposition." Say no context, no context. Say sweatless, sweatless. I said, I said, it is your time. Sit down, 2 minutes. Hear me. When it is not your turn, you fight. But when it's your turn, you come into rest. You don't have to struggle. You sow a little and you have much. Hear me. When it's your turn, you don't live on paycheck. When it's your turn, it's overflow. My cup runneth over. When it is your turn, there were 4 streams in the Garden of Eden. 4 rivers. So Adam got up in the morning and he will fish tilapia from 1 river. And he will say, Eve, it wasn't tasty. I want grouper. He goes to another stream the next day to fish grouper. Another day he said, you know, my appetite level has become high. So I want salmon. He goes to the next one. The next day he goes to another and kept, because there were 4 rivers. This year, God will give you many streams of income. I said, you have many streams of income. If you believe it, say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Give somebody a high five and say, receive many streams of income. Many, many streams of income. Sit down. Do you believe it? You better believe. I'm prophesying. I'm saying that you have graduated from 1 stream of income to many streams of income. Anybody, hear me, anybody who is very comfortable in life financially and gets up and play golf when others go to work, they don't depend on 1 stream of income. And I declare unto you by divine announcement that from tonight you are moving from 1 stream of income to many streams of income. I said, God will give you new ideas. He will open doors that will blow your mind. He will cause you to access many and new streams of income to the glory of God in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout, I believe. And if you believe it, just give God an offering. If you believe it, just give God an offering for it. If you believe it, just give God an offering. Just give God an offering to confirm it. Just do something. But hear me. Sit down. Those of you coming, keep on coming. But those of you sitting, sit down and hear me. Amen. Say, I'm sowing for many streams of income. Are you not tired of salary? As long as you work for salary, you will never be comfortable in life. People who are comfortable in life don't work for salary. People who are comfortable in life, they don't work for money. Money works for them. I declare by divine announcement today that this year is your last year of working for money. That money is going to begin to work for you. I said, money is going to begin to work for you. I said, money is going to begin to work for you. I declare you are going to become a shareholder. I said, a shareholder, a CEO, a director of new investments in town. In the name of Jesus Christ, somebody shout, yes. Sit down. Hallelujah. I feel something I don't know about you, but he's here. Do you feel him? He's here. I feel him all over me. It's awesome. It's beautiful. Oh God. Magnificent. Magnificent. I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. I feel your presence. The presence of your spirit and of the Shekinah. The glory of the El Elyon. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Ah, Jesus. Somebody call the name. Say, Yeshua. Somebody say, Yeshua. Say, Yeshua HaMashiach. That means Jesus Christ. Amen. He's here. Now, can I talk to you for a minute? Can I talk to you? Amen. Amen. What? So, David was brought to the prophet. As soon as David showed up, then eternity confirmed the decision. to be conferred upon him. And eternity commanded that the oil of kingship should be conferred upon him. So David was anointed before his brethren, king over Israel. He was anointed 3 times. The first anointing was before his brethren, second anointing before Judah, and the third anointing before all of Israel. Tonight, if it's possible, I want you all to come with anointing oil. I want to anoint, I want to pray over the oil. I want you to anoint yourself. I want you to anoint yourself for many streams of income. That God will awake in your mind ideas. And that God will cause the fountains of the deep inside of you to break open. Are you hearing me, somebody? That hidden treasures inside of you will be discovered. That the treasures of darkness will be discovered. That God will give you ability to discover hidden riches and treasures. Somebody say, talk to me. Thank God for water. Hallelujah. You know, you are nice people. I think I like you. Amen. So the Bible said, and David was anointed king. And when David got anointed, Israel had a problem because he was the youngest of the family. And he was going to become the first youngest king in the whole region. Because there were other kings apart from the nation of Israel. And he was going to be the youngest ever. So God had to justify and validate his choice. So there was a man by the name of Goliath of the Philistines, born in Gath by another giant who gave birth to 5 of them. And Goliath was among the 5 of 5 giants. And David and his mighty men slew them all. And Goliath was minding his business in Gath. And God went and provoked him to come and trouble Israel. Sometimes God can set you up with problems. Whenever God wants to promote you, he will create trouble for you. You don't believe me? Go and ask Brother Job. He was sitting down minding his own business when the children of God, the sons of God, had gathered and Satan showed up. And God said, Satan, what are you doing here? He said, Since Michael fired me from heaven, I have been running to and fro. I don't have a job. So God said, okay, I think I have an assignment for you. What do you think about my servant Job? And he said, ask for Job, he's untouchable. You've blessed him, surrounded him with protection on every side. You've ensured everything he has. You put your seal on everything he has. The man is untouchable. That means he visited him the other day and he couldn't reach him. If you know how many demons tried to get you and they couldn't because God didn't permit it, you will increase your offerings and your tithes. Some of you hearing me right now, if it wasn't for God's special protection on your life that you don't even see, you wouldn't be here signing the checks you signed. That car you are driving, you wouldn't even be here to drive it. Somebody who didn't swear to be driving it by you. Somebody would have had your wife and your husband. The enemy would have taken you out long time ago. But when they came in the night to eat your flesh, they stumbled and they fell because the protection of God was sure. Somebody lift up your hands and shout, yeah! Sit down. And God said, Satan, I have an assignment for you. And Satan said, what is the assignment? He said, Job. He said, does Job serve you for nothing? That means the devil knows that there is a reward in serving God. He said, does Job serve you for nothing? That means you don't serve God for nothing. So please, let me assure you and submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't serve God for nothing. The Bible said, for he has not called the seed of Jacob to serve him in vain. Amen, somebody. Yeah. So God said, I have an assignment. Go to Job. I will withdraw all his coverings and protection. I give you permission to touch everything except his life. Amen. So he went. One day, he has 10 coffins in his house. 7 sons, 3 daughters, dead in one day. 10 coffins, 10 caskets in his house a day. What kind of trouble have you seen before? Some of you, any smart thing, why me, why me? You haven't seen anything. I was telling one of my pastors the other day, and he was saying that, Papa, Papa, and I said, hey, I have seen war. So battles don't scare me. Amen. Battles is the fight within the walls. The little fights. When they are fighting a war. The little fights. When they are fighting a big war. And there's a small fight there and a small fight there. Those is what you call battles. But the fight itself is the big thing, which is the war. I have seen war. So battles, they don't scare me. Amen. Hallelujah. The lion in me roars. When I see war, the lion roars. There's a lion inside of me. And you never hear the roaring of the lion until there is an enemy. And when an enemy shows up, the lion in me roars. And the best in me emerges. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. Give me 2 minutes. Let me try to... I haven't finished, though. I know where I am. Can I talk to you just for 2 more minutes? 2 minutes. I promise. 2 minutes. I'll let you go. Hear me. The father didn't know who David was. He was the king. The brothers didn't know that was the king. The mothers didn't know that was the king. So you can have a son who is a king, and unless God opens your eyes, you don't even know it. You can be sitting next to a queen, and you don't even know who you're sitting next to. You can be sitting next to a king, and you don't know who you're sitting next to. Do you know the jail warder of Nelson Mandela's jail? If he knew 24 hours or 48 hours before Nelson Mandela was discharged, that he was going to be one of the greatest of all times, president of one of the greatest nations of the continent of Africa, and will be one of the African presidents that spend more time with the Queen of England than any dignitary and president of the nations of our world. If anybody in prison knew that Nelson Mandela was going to become what he is today, he would have been so nice to him within that 24 hours. Are you hearing me, somebody? But you don't know who you are talking to. You don't know the tomorrow of somebody. So you got to be careful how you judge people. You got to be careful how you conclude on people. You got to be careful how you write people off. You got to be careful what you say about people, because you would not know that you are killing your own savior and killing your own destroyer, your own deliverer. Do you know that Joseph's brothers didn't know that they put their own deliverer in a pit? Do you know that they didn't know that they were killing and selling their savior? He said, for the Lord sent you ahead of me to preserve ahead of you. He sent me ahead of you to preserve posterity. So they were killing their own savior. And Jesus was the savior of those who crucified him. And they crucified their savior. So sometimes you can kill your savior. You can crucify your deliverer if you walk as natural men, not by the intelligence, information systems, and report of heaven. You can kill your own savior. David's brothers engage him at the battlefield to fight him before he met Goliath. And they wanted to engage the anointing to kill Goliath before he met Goliath. So by the time he met Goliath, the anointing would have reduced. But he was smart to know that I am anointed to kill giants and not to fight my brothers. So I don't fight my brothers with my anointing. I don't fight you. I know who the real enemy is. So my oil is not to fight you. I'm waiting for the real enemy. Sit down for 2 minutes. And David was minding his business. Goliath had been vexed and provoked by God to go and cause trouble for Israel. Sometimes some of the troubles you go through is not all by your mistakes, though. Some of them, it doesn't matter how much wisdom you have. When something had to happen, brother, sister, fasten your seatbelt, turbulence will hit you. When you're going through the air, and the thing, one of my pastors asked me the other day, Papa, what do you do when the plane is boo, 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 boo? I said, it is pot holes in the air. Just fasten your seatbelt, you get to your final destination. I said, just set your mind on the final destination, you get there. He said, so there are potholes in the air. I said, yeah, potholes. I said, when he gets into the pothole, he said, boo, 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 boo. Potholes. That is the way of the eagles. It's only for the eagles. Hallelujah. Amen. Goliath came. Let me finish. I'll download. I'll continue tonight. Amen. I think I'm beginning to get you. I'm beginning to get you. So now that I have you, I'll fire tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I like you. Hallelujah. I can tell Pastor Kujo has labored in the word a lot. Amen. You are recipients of good things. So Goliath came upon the mountains of Zion and declared war on Israel. And this was the condition. This was the terms. Number one, it was going to be a 40 days and a 40 night declaration of war between the nation of Israel and the nation of the Philistines. And every morning and night, Goliath will come upon the mountains of Israel and will declare for Israel to send a man to fight him. And if he falls by the sword of that soldier, that the nation of the Philistines will become slaves to the nation of Israel. And if whoever comes to fight Goliath dies by the sword of Goliath, that the nation of Israel will become slaves and taken captive by the nation of the Philistines. So apart from the fact that it was a war and a battle between a young shepherd boy and a giant, it was also a national war between two nations. And that is what we call the battles of all times. And on the 40th morning, when Goliath came upon the mountains of Israel to declare that this is the last day, if no man comes to me to fight me this morning, tonight I shall declare that the nation of Israel surrenders absolutely. All your defense systems, air marshals, your siege will be taken. Navy commander will have to submit. And we are taking over your airwaves, your ground troops, your borders. We are seizing and taking absolute command over the nation of Israel. It comes under the control of the forces of the Philistines. And then on the 40th morning, Jesse sent David to the battlefield to send food to his brothers. And David came to the field of battle on the 40th morning and saw Goliath standing there, threatening the entire nation of Israel. And every man of war had gone into hiding because they didn't have revelation. They were operating on low frequency. And David got to the field of battle and saw Goliath. He saw him by revelation. He saw him by spiritual eyes. And everybody looked at him in the natural. And they didn't see him for who he was. And watch this. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who designated him? Who gave you the audacity? Who authorized you to stand here to literally threaten the entire existence of an entire nation? Who dared you to do that? His elder brother tried to engage him, and he said, what have I done again? Is there no reason? You think I just want trouble? You think I don't want peace? You think I don't want a good name like you have? You think I just want always to be the trouble one? No. Is that not a reason? He said it's not a reason. You think I always want to fight? You think I was born to always be in warfare? But there's a reason. There's a reason for this anointing. There's a reason for this decision. There's a reason. And David said, is there not a reason? Is there not a cause? There's a cause. There's always a cause. There's always smoke before fire. It's about to rain. And when you know that it's about to rain, when it begins to blow, when the winds begin to blow and the clouds begin to form, then it's an indication that it's about to rain. And David said, is there not a cause? Look at somebody and say, hold your peace. Is there not a cause? Please sit down. Give me 2 minutes. And the king heard of the courage of David. I was preaching about courage the other day, and I said, courage is not the absence of fear or the absence of controversy of a matter, but it is the capacity to take action, to do what one must do in order not to compromise your eternal destiny, despise one's fear and despise controversy. And the Bible said that the king said to David, why must I let you die? You are not even a soldier. You are a shepherd. You don't understand the skills of battle. How do you expect me to allow you to go die? You are not married. You don't have children. You are not even an apprentice soldier. You are a shepherd. He said, king, don't underestimate this shepherd. He said, king, don't judge me by what you see in the flesh. He said, king, if you look at me and my circumstances and my present status and you judge me physically, you will miss your own deliverance. He said, king, your deliverance is in my hands. And the king said, give me a point of reference. He said, the other day I kept my father's sheep. And he said, a lion and the bear came and took a lamb. And the lamb was helpless. The lamb could not help himself. And he said, king, something came upon me. Hey, 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 hey. Somebody say, hey, 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 hey. Sit down. Sit down. He said, something came upon me. And the lion in me, the lion in me roared. And he said, and I went after the lion and the bear, and I caught them, slew them, and rescued the lamb. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine, he didn't even call him a giant, you and the price of a dog. Let me tell you how he did it. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Then you know what he did? He took a stone, 5 stones, because the Philistines nation had 5 gods. He took 5 stones for every one of them. Take all your gods out. When I finish with your gods, the human beings will have no power. Because the power of the human beings is the defense of their God. So when I remove your defense, you are powerless. Amen? When I remove your defense, you are powerless. Amen. Okay, I'm through. I'm through. Sit down. Tonight, I love you. I'll see you tonight. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676760 55 +233 2676760 0244-767-6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.